excuse me, can I interrupt you? I'm recording for Oroville Radio. So you're the faces of some young Delhiites. You're from Delhi?
Yeah, Delhi.
Can I just ask you what you've been into the talks, have you?
Yeah, I've been there.
What are your feelings about what you've heard? Or?
Well, it was my first experience with Oroville. I've read about Oroville, but I never actually interacted with people from Oroville or what Oroville is all about. So it was pretty eye-opening for me. So it has given some answers. It has put up some questions. So probably next month when I'm in Pondicherry, I'll get some more answers over there.
Great. And you might come and visit?
Yeah, definitely I'll do that.
Have you been upstairs to see the exhibition or the films?
I saw the film and the exhibition during the opening ceremony. I was not here yesterday, but today maybe I'll go.
And you know it's running for the whole week?
Yeah, I know that.
So maybe you'll bring some friends in.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Ritu. I wrote you on the last day before the beginning.
Great, well, welcome. So you've been here since Friday?
I've attended 2 days. That's yesterday and today. And some of the sessions.
Is this your first contact with Oroville?
No, it isn't. I visited Oroville. My first visit was, I think, about 10, 12 years back. And one was very recent, that was last year. And so we've made 2 family visits to Oroville and Pondicherry. And last time we also stayed at the Aurobindo Ashram guest house.
So what do you make of what you've heard for the last 2 days and this movement of Oroville to come to Delhi?
No two ways about the work that's happening. I'm sort of connected to it in a different way, as in the spirit sense, you know, because as a creative myself, it's not a surprise for me that all of this work is happening. You know, in fact, there might be more at various stages of development, because a person who's connecting within would be finding various manifestations of what's happening. And would be always looking for ways to improve and better and raise the situations, the material and the processes, and always engaging in a conscious or unconscious research. So I'm not surprised about that. But it coming to Delhi, I think it's a fantastic idea. How it happens, that has to be seen, because Oroville is, I mean, as such, the Aurobindo Ashram exists. And the possibility for people to connect with the teachings, the philosophy, volunteering, school, education, meditation, such things is very much available. And there's a mass communication school as well, which I've just visited once. So, in terms of education, I'm sure they must have a different way of learning and approach to learning. So those possibilities already exist. But what Oroville stands for, I think, is a way of life. And being able to practice those, real life. And being able to live in a community setting, because practice a particular, spiritual practice is one aspect which helps you to connect within. But now to make it real in terms of your everyday living can be quite a challenge. Especially when you're living in an environment which is running in the other direction, which challenges you constantly, you know. And here you have the possibility of living in a community of people who are all aspiring for a similar goal. So at least that basic friction is not there. A basic clash of goals and convincing and, you know, projection, all of that is subtracted. So I think that's... Delhi, definitely being a political economic sort of center, has a huge role to play, all over the country. And more than the country, the entire world is in Delhi. Delhi, the whole world is in Delhi, by virtue of it being the political center, cultural center. Practically every country has a cultural center here, has an embassy here. There's screenings, programs, engagements that are happening, interactions that are happening. You have the kind of exposure here to world culture like you would not anywhere else. So Delhi is definitely, a big role. What happens in Delhi, I think, and the decisions that happen here would affect people all over. So yes, that's a great idea. How it happens, there's no land in Delhi. In Delhi, there is no land, as far as I know. Unless you are displaced something and you put push and pull out something. Maybe on the outskirts somewhere, something can come up. That would be very nice. And yes, it needs to be worked upon. And Delhi culture is becoming very, very sort of crass. It's and because Delhi is also under a great deal of influence from the whole world. So a lot of negative and lower level forces and vibes are also coming to Delhi first with full force. A lot of vulgarity is also there. And, you know, and a very surfacial level, a lot of things are there. So, you know, they need to be dealt with, you know, which are sort of minused in many other environments because other cities might be more culturally rooted. Delhi did not have, as far as my this thing goes, did not have a purely independent, you know, its own culture per se. You know, it has become about through a mixing of people from all over and primarily the northern region. So it's quite a mix hash of cultures. And the influences were very different in the north from the south. I mean, north has been an agricultural society and people have worked physically very hard. You know, and so their influences are very different from south where things have got very refined. People had the peace and prosperity to sort of refine themselves internally. North was feeding the whole country in a way. You know, they were involved with physical labor a great deal and a lot of fighting and battle happened during the British time. North was the major battlefield. South was much less impacted. So, I mean, I'm sure and there would be many factors, you know, a complex blending. But it has, what happens in Delhi affects the whole country.
So in the right place.
Yes,
the moment.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much and I hope we see you back in Oroville soon.
Sure.
I'm Firoz Gujral and I live in Delhi and I'm the licensee and curator for TEDx Delhi. It's one of, it's not my day job, but it's what I do with a great passion and we do it once a year. This is our third year and our topic was really urban utopia. And we're going from the macro to like building of new cities to right down to the micro of the human being. So we have some topics because our audience is actually a very mixed audience. So we have students, we have young professionals, we have people from sort of social kind of, you know, activists to corporate to everybody. So it's a mixed bag.
So you're interested in some of the speakers?
I am actually because I was attracted first by Oroville Always, but also by the topic, City of Transformation. So to me that was an important topic. Also we're, my husband is an architect and we're in the space. So there's a bit of, a tiny bit of awareness and lots more to learn. So I was very keen on a couple of the speakers to actually speak at TED because they're all posted online. It's a very powerful online community. And I think it'd be really nice to have this online, some of them. So I was very keen to have him. I love the title of his topic, which was Remembering the Future Garden. And I thought that was such a zen-like kind of beautiful
You made
title.
Me cry, Joss.
Really? And for the pelicans and the frogs and the city of Delhi, that would be nice. We don't know the pelicans. We have lots of toads. So for our toads, it would be good. Yeah.
Can I just interrupt you two for a last word for Oroville Radio on the what you heard tonight? How was it? Was it interesting? Was it?
It was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was very interesting. This is the first time I came here. I didn't really know about Oroville a lot, but it's really interesting.
Great.
Yeah, I would love to go there to visit it. Yeah, I hope because my sister was living there. So next time, maybe I'll be able to visit it.
On another trip.
Yes, yes, I hope. Yeah.
Thank you.
So
I noticed you in the back of the hall and I was wondering, are you traveling through Delhi or
yes.
You're living here?
Yes, we are traveling. We are arrived here maybe 2 or 3 days ago and we'll stay here maybe 2 weeks. And after, we plan to go to join the Jan Satyagraha Yatra, a march of poor peasants of between Gwalior and Delhi.
Very interesting. How long does that last for?
It's 1 month march.
Yeah.
So we will try to join on some parts of the march.
Did you come to India specifically for that?
Yes, mainly, and also to meet other social organizations and to share with them practices, experiences.
Mm-hmm. And What will happen on this march?
I suppose the people will walk and then arriving at Delhi, they will ask for the government to improve their conditions, for example, sharing lands or giving them more rights on the lands, on the resources from the forest, from the water. And also there is some people from tribal areas, so they need more rights and improve all the condition for peasants without land and etc. and so on.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on tribal people in India at the moment. The amount of mining that's going on in special economic zones and people being moved off their land. Yes. So this is an effort to. Is this march to try and address their needs more? Or?
Yes, but there was a march in 2007, and they already asked for more rights. And I think the government created a committee, a special committee for this, but it's not really working now. It's just begin the work. So now they ask to more. More will from the government, but maybe you have to ask to the organization movements.
The name is Ekta Parishad.
How did you get involved in this, or how did you hear about it?
In France, we are involved in a collective of people in poor conditions, and we're trying to bring more rights also for this kind of people. And we were inspired by the march of 2007 in India to ask also to our government in France to give more to improve conditions of these people. And so, because we were inspired by the march of the Indian march, we come now here in India to support also the movement here. And so it's kind of international solidarity. So we try to make links between the two movements.
Great, good work. And how did you hear about the Auroville Festival?
It was in you know, the cultural program of Delhi. Okay. So we just see that there is Auroville Festival, and because we have heard about Auroville a lot of time, and so we want to see what it look like, yeah, and people, and what will be told on the conferences. And maybe we thought there will be like debate and something like this.
So it was more presentations today. So how was that? Was it active enough for you? Would you have liked more kind of sharing and dialogue?
No, but I don't speak English.
Yeah, we thought that there will be more debates and maybe contradictions and maybe kind of not criticism, but go back on the experiences and the practices. So it's interesting to see what is going on now in Auroville and the different projects. There is so much good ideas, but now it can have been interesting for us to have another point of view, maybe from people not from Auroville. I don't know, but if it's the presentation day, this is why maybe it's like this. I don't know.
So you would have liked more kind of questioning what we're doing and more kind of critical analysis.
Yeah, maybe not for just criticize, but maybe to have other point of views and maybe from people who live around Auroville, how do they feel with that? But it seems that they are kind of linked with all the projects, but maybe it could have been interesting to see other point of views also. Yeah,
That's a nice point, because this is the first time we've done that, so it's good to get feedback. Okay. on what we could do maybe next time.
Okay.
Yeah,
but it's good to have a lot of different presentations also, and the movies, etc. It's for if you don't know about Auroville, I think it's a good start to have.
And you've seen the exhibition and the movies upstairs.
Just quickly, because now we are going to eat, but after we can see it maybe.
Okay, so I let you go. Thank you very much. What brought you here today? Were you familiar with Auroville? Or?
Yes. I have been there a couple of times, so I was waiting, and I couldn't come earlier because it was office days for me. So today is Sunday, so I decided to come.
What was your impression of Auroville when you went there?
I loved it. I think it's a place which offers you a lot of it has a lot of positive energy, a lot of creativity, and people get time and and they can invest time on really understanding the deeper aspects of life rather than just living a life like the way we live in cities like Delhi and Bombay, 9 to 5, 9 to 5. And then we forget a lot of subtle issues and subtle things about the human life. So that place does offer you a kind of space within yourself to go deeper inside. And a lot of activities happening there, and individuals brought, like, they brings in a lot of diversity and different kind of culture and different kind of, so for anybody who goes like from cities of many parts of the India, when they go there, it's a place where you get diversity in one platform. Sometimes it becomes too much to take because there's so much good work happening all over the place. So you don't know where to go, which workshop to attend. And the beauty is that it's all happening for, like, you don't have to pay always. And there are some events which is specially planned in where you have to pay, but a lot of things which you can just go without getting hesitated, should I not, because in cities where you have to really either you have to have a pass, you have to be member to really avail all that. So it's a very nice and you don't get such things in any other part of the country. So, and I love meeting people there because everybody looks very simple and down to earth, but when you talk to them you realize, wow, they're like such person with so much of knowledge and experience, and yet they are so basic. And so that's the beauty of it.
What are you doing in life? Are you studying or are you working in Delhi?
I am a development professional. I work for the community development organizations, and my area of focus is building social enterprises in rural India, where I try to work for community livelihood generation projects. So I develop design projects, then I work on the implementation. So currently I am working in Bihar and Uttarakhand. And
it's mainly women's groups you're working with, or?
Bihar, it's a largely women focused organization, and which is called Samulam. And in Uttarakhand, it's a rural tourism. So because in the mountains, there's a very high migration from hills to cities because there is no basic needs are taken care, like education, schools are very far, hospitals are very far, and it's like employment opportunities are shrinking. Whole climate change is fast. It's showing very clearly on the mountains because the people have been living there and livelihood has been depending on agriculture. So the whole rain pattern has changed. And so the agriculture-based livelihood also has shrunk. So they have started migrating to cities in search of jobs. So our idea is to help the community building a social livelihood, livelihood opportunities within their own village. So one area which we are focusing is rural tourism. Reason is that the people from the cities, the economy is growing. So people have started traveling, going to hill station and all, middle class Indians have started traveling out. So, and again, the summer is getting stressed. So everybody wants to go to cooler place and hill station. So we look at innovative ways of how to plug in the demand which is coming from the other side and the benefit which community can get. So, but yet it has to be a responsible tourism. So if anybody is coming from an urban area to the village, has to be sensitive enough to the culture and the local, biodiversity. So we work restoring abandoned houses in the village which has been left out because of the migration, and with the help of the community restore them and bring the urban tourists who are conscious about the climate and conscious about the community and help, and so they come and they visit these places and live there. So, and that generates a livelihood for the locals living in that village.
That's very very interesting. So it, you have a, like a homestay system that tourists stay in?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with any of the work of Village Action in Oroville?
Yes, I have been to the Oroville Life School. I think the Village Action group and the Oroville.
Yes, Ambu and Kathy and the team down there.
Yes, and I know Uma is my sister, so so that's the reason I travel. Then Kiran is theirs, and so I keep traveling there and visiting all the places and activities taking place in Oroville. I try to visit at least once in a year, so it gives me, you know, some update that what is happening in Oroville. Lot of interesting work. Every time I go, I'm like, wow, something new has come up and some new concepts, like, so.
You're a very inspirational family. You're working in your own field, Uma's doing her bit.
Yeah, I think most of the family member is a larger heart has gone into the community social work. I think it's also because the roots, we come from a very small town where we all born. So it gives a lot of energy to reconnect, and we connect with the grassroots community much more than any. Like, I cannot do any 9-to-5 job. I can't work for money. I need to be happy with the... So that's something drives.
Something you got from your parents, or what was the influence?
Yes, I think because the seed is from there. So it's the place, and I feel very connected to my hometown, which is Bodh Gaya. Mm-hmm. So it's, again, it's a land which is very spiritually powerful. I go there every 2-3 months. An organization which I've started for women, it's also bore its fruits there. So it gives a quite a lot of... energy. So we feel very connected, and if you have a healthy roots, you will always have a healthy tree, no? So I'm working on that idea to make a healthy tree by strengthening the roots. So the current area which I focus is working with the current generation of the country and helping them come up with this whole thought, which is that everybody has certain responsibility towards our own country and people. You can't be just blaming a sector like NGO or government or private and this and that. If all of us takes that little responsibility and try to give 1% to the roots, so a large change can happen in the country itself. You don't need to wait for the, you know, so a little effort makes a difference. So that's a kind of message which I'm trying to work through these organizations, that every individual has some responsibility and lots of power to make change. So better act now.